What is eternity? What is the eternal way, as Lao Tzu talks about it? The way that can be walked is not the eternal way. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of all things, the source of all things. This is deeply important to understand. I want to read you something here that Lao Tzu talked about. This is in the Tao, but even more important, it must be understood within you. The sage knows himself, but makes no show of himself. He loves himself, but does not exalt himself. He prefers what is within to that which is the without. This is a deeply, deeply, deeply important thing to understand. The reason most people make absolutely no progress in their practice is because they listen, for instance, to these discourses, and there is no humility in it. To you, it sounds like knowledge, something you should know. But that is not really what it's all about. Humility brings me to my soul. It does it through the power of silence. You see, until we honor silence, revere it, until we revere the idea of emptiness, we cannot be a humble person. We cannot be, as Jesus talked about it, the meek that inherit the earth. Where there is no desire, no ambition, no pride, no scrutiny, where there is no questioning of the way, or its authenticity or reality. When we are no longer interested in gaining the adoration of other people or fulfilling our ego's needs and wants. Until these moments happen, we cannot be humble enough to understand eternity. Eternity is not something that Gregory Edward could ever fathom. He cannot think eternity. And when I say to you that the blessed state is the state of eternity, like Lao Tzu talks about, the eternal way, until I am willing to really feel that, beyond the precepts and concepts of Gregory's mind and his emotions, I plunge myself into love only when I am humble enough to not to be a Gregory Edward. We must become a nothing, a no-thing. Not to be admired by others, but to be realized, totally realized. This means that the breaking of my human heart must be experienced. And I find for most people, this breaking of the human heart, thinking that accomplishments in the world were everything, only to find out they're nothing. It's very, very important, is essential. You remember the story of the man who came to the king, and the king said, I will grant you whatever you want, because the man was poor. He had only a bowl in his hand, and he was hungry. The king had some means of being merciful to these kinds of people, and every morning he would take a walk and grant one wish to someone in his kingdom. You remember this story. So the man said, if you could just fill my begging bowl, I would be more than happy. I would be thrilled. Well, the king dropped a few coins in the bowl, remember? And they disappeared. And then the king started putting jewelry in his bowl that he was wearing, and they disappeared. The end of the story is, you remember it. He poured his whole kingdom into that bowl, and it all disappeared. That bowl was eternity. This is why what Lhotse says here is so important. That the sage does not exalt himself. He prefers what is within to that which is in the without, the outer world. We live in too much desire, too much pride. And by the time we get to the end of our life, we suddenly realize we didn't do anything with our life. Nada. All we did was accumulate and accumulate. Wealth, security, self-righteousness. Now, this is all running in the back of our mind. And I have to understand that only in humility, in allowing myself to see the reality, to lose my point of view about anyone and everything, to be merciful enough, generous enough to be forgiving. Only in that does anything occur. Do I come into something that would be of self-realization? Do you remember Cahil Gibran's work? Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding, he says. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust in the physician and drink his remedy in silence, tranquility, humility. We were wrong about everything in our life. Absolutely wrong. We lived for the wrong things, wanting things to be able to quench the thirst of our unrequited love. You see, in truth, you are love. You just deeply don't recognize it, and hence you cannot recognize why it is compassionate, it is generous to have mercy and forgiveness for yourself, for the way you and I lived our reckless lives in the ruin of our ego. The aim of awakening, of realization, is not to imitate it. Imitate humility, accepting disgrace willingly, as Lhotse teaches. It is beyond being intellectual. It is about the realization of our authentic being over the human self of us. It is there that we find and recognize the soul. As you know, I do some hospice work every week. And in the years and years and years that I have done it, rarely, if ever, is there someone who finds their life again. They think that their life is ending, but it isn't. It's a continuum. It is the eternal way. They're looking for something in their ego, in their pride, in their small mind, their minutia, to comfort them and say to them, you can have your experience of yourself again as a human being over and over and over again. But your heart has to break. Even as they are leaving their body, there is the fear of their heartbreak, the reluctance to enter into death as eternity, a state of eternity. And very few people, even those of you who listen to these discourses, can understand that. It is cultivating stillness and a sense of inner peace, not peace of mind, because the mind will never be at peace, but a mind, a no mind, a mind no longer seeking accomplishments, no longer filled with what it thinks of as right and wrong, good and bad, a conditional mind, as I call it. A mind that conditions everything and has its own conditions about what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. It is very, very important that we understand this. We don't reflect. We look at things and we collect. Instead of reflecting, we do collecting. We're in the collective unconscious because our minds collect the viewpoint of right and wrong, good and bad. We create all sorts of conditions, circumstances, consequences. People will think that the consequences of their living and how they have lived their life is life itself. It isn't. I have created these things out of the complexity of my stupidity, my rigidness, my willfulness. This is why I value emptiness. A life is not about accomplishment. It is not about reason, logic. It is not about even knowing. It is about true emptiness. Chuang-tzu, who was Lao Tzu's valued student, he tells a story about two persons who both lost their sheep. One person got very depressed and lost himself in drinking, sex, gambling, trying to forget his misfortune. The other person, he decided that this would be an excellent chance for him to study the classics, to quietly observe the subtleties of nature. You see, both men experienced some misfortune. But one man lost himself in his body, attached to his mind, attached to loss, while the other, he sought to discover, to take an ascended point of view. And in that ascension, he found himself beyond gain and loss. People who live for gain and loss and fear it, who hoard both money, objects, people, things, They can never bring themselves into this life. They can live in this world in the disapproval of themselves, but never can they enter into the eternal way that Lao Tzu talks about. When I am full of desire, I can only see what is before me. I can't see my own nose, but I think I see what is before me. I make judgments about what is before me. I make assumptions about what is happening. When I work to be admired or loved, instead of finding the way deep within me, I can never find that realization. You see, you are a realization of love. You are not a man or a woman. You are a realization. And this is hard to wrap the head around. No mind can think about this. No human thoughts can understand this. You are a being. You are love. But not a love that gratifies, but rather a love that sanctifies your virtue, your goodness, your mercy. The flesh is very weak. It doesn't have any place in the sense of eternity. It is simply a vehicle, a device for me and for you to understand and to appreciate for what it has offered us. But we never allow it to be the consumption of our life, eating away at everything that is truly valuable. My words sound like blah, blah, blah. Most people can't hear them. And even when my words are pointing towards the way and the infinite, people can't recognize them because they are not realized. They have not realized themselves. And the only way is to value emptiness, to learn to listen to the tones and allow them their eternity. Every tone I give you in the meditations that I offer you, every tone, even in these discourses at the end when we meditate together, this is the voice of you, of love. And should you be empty enough without the idea of judgment, of right and wrong, good and bad, should you abandon your thinking, really abandon it, to go beyond the confines of what it can think and what it can't think, when you are silent enough, quiet enough, you will suddenly realize that you have been imprisoned. Imprisoned by the whole idea of right and wrong, good and bad. You will suddenly realize you don't need to think the way you have thought. You never did. It was a distraction from what you are, from being realized as love. I wish I could give it to you, I do. But it is not a gift anyone can give you. The gift of it is when you are willing to value emptiness, when you are willing to enter into eternity. The mighty way, Lao Tzu says in the Tao, is easily underfoot, but people prefer the little paths. Let's meditate together on that. The mighty way is easy underfoot, but people still prefer the little paths. Observe your little path and take the bigger step.